Ephesians chapter 6. While you're turning there, I'd like to begin a story this morning. Robert Greene tells about a man by the name of James Rushing, who was his friend and also his father's friend. One particular day, this soldier carried his white duffel bag with one hand and started to walk away from the ship that he had been serving on. See, he had been in the Navy for 2 years. Most of that time, he had been on the James E. Keys. During his time of service, there had been military peace, although the Korean War had only been over for a couple of years when he had entered the service. But the time he had spent on this destroyer had been a war of sorts for him. It had been a personal struggle against loneliness, pride, and the lust of the flesh. He was not lonely by nature. In fact, he was an outgoing kind of person. He was usually to be found in the middle of all the joking and activities. But the joking on ship was vulgar and not what he was used to in his family or his church back home. He had found that the reputation that sailors had was largely based on fact. He was with only about a fourth of the sailors on ship who didn't come back from their ports drunk, broke, and sometimes infested with disease. And anyone who didn't follow this group was shunned and often ridiculed. He was on speaking terms with the others, but he just couldn't participate in their activities. And he had been called deacon for it. He had worked hard in trying to obey his superiors and wouldn't laugh when crude jokes were told about them. And so he is also called a goody-goody. One particular time when his shipmen went to port, he stayed on ship and studied his Bible. And thereafter, they began to call him preacher. And the word preacher, the nickname preacher, stuck with him his entire time in the Navy. Well, he was heading off the ship for the last time when he had a strange feeling of relief mingled with regret. Relief that the ordeal was over. Regret that he hadn't done better with the internal temptations of his heart. The things in his heart that only he and God knew about. He did have moments of weakness that his shipmates also saw, and they accused him of being a hypocrite. But as he was leaving, someone yelled, "See you around, Rushing." He hadn't heard anybody call him by name, by his real name, in quite some time. Among the group of people that were standing there watching him walk away was a man by the name of Bill Johnson. Bill had given him a worse time than any of the others. "Take it easy," he said. Well, he continued down the ramp and reached the bottom, started walking along the dock to the bus station. Johnson's voice rang out again. "Hey, preacher." Rushing stopped again. He looked back at the ship, and the entire railing was filled with sailors, just leaning casually against the railing, watching him walk away. One of the soldiers spoke some final words to him that gave him a sense of peace and accomplishment as he went back to civilian life. Find out what they told him later on in the message this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to talk to you about the believer's authority over the devil. I thought three weeks ago, I'd just talk about authority for 3 weeks. We've looked at the believer's power of authority. Last week, we looked at the authority of faith. And today, I'd like us to look at the believer's authority over the devil. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I've picked out some major scriptures today, and each of these scriptures will bring about one point in the message. But I want you to know today that the devil has never abandoned his original purpose. His original purpose was to overthrow the authority of God. And even though he has been defeated at every battle, he continues with that purpose and will continue with that purpose until the day that he is eventually chained and thrown into the lake of fire. One of the greatest mistakes any believer can make is to think that they have turned the corner and that the devil isn't going to bother them anymore. That's right. It doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian, the devil has not abandoned you. I don't know if that's comforting or not, but the Prime Minister of England back in the 1930s, Mr. Chamberlain, Prime Minister, when everybody was worried about Hitler, actually went to a peace conference with Hitler. When he got back off the airplane, he held up his fingers making the peace sign. The headline in the newspapers the next day was, "Peace in our times." Chamberlain was convinced that Hitler was not going to make war. And even at that very moment, Hitler was filling his airplanes with bombs. Do you know that there are a great many Christians like Chamberlain? Peace in our times. Peace in our world. Peace in our lives. But Paul said, before I leave off writing to you, before I end this book, I want to remind you that you are involved in a wrestling match, that you are involved in a war. And he reminds his readers over and over again that they are against something, and something is against them. He said, you are involved in a face-to-face conflict. You are involved in hand-to-hand combat. And if you don't believe this, it is to your own peril. Now, we won't have victory in the Christian life and accomplish much until we realize that the moment we become a Christian, we are involved in a hand-to-hand combat against Satan and his demonic forces. And one of the things that you need to know to be successful in any warfare is that you have to know your enemy. And so the first part of the message today is identifying the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Let that sink in. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, if we don't wrestle and fight against flesh and blood, who are we wrestling and fighting against? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me say it again. Your battle is not with flesh and blood. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. You know, many Christians fail at this point. The conflict is not human. The conflict is not on the natural level. Sometimes the enemy comes in the form of flesh and blood, but the real battle is not with the flesh and blood. The real battle is with those things that you cannot see. The battle is not with the things that you can see. The battle is with the things that you cannot see. This is tremendously important. Suppose there is a person that you have not been getting along with. You try your hardest to get along with this person. The problem is not the person. The problem is not flesh and blood. The problem is the power behind all of this. You try, but it doesn't work. You know what Satan is trying to do? He is trying to use this. He's trying to use flesh and blood to defeat you in the Christian life. Sometimes you wrestle with a habit. You wrestle with the temptation. We think that the battle is with flesh. Your real battle is with the force that is behind that habit, behind that temptation. Now, if you recognize that, you can have victory over it. But if you don't know who the real enemy is, you're not going to fight the real enemy. And if you're not fighting the real enemy, there's not going to be any victory. But let me tell you this morning that there is no habit, there is no sin, there is nothing that the Christian cannot have absolute victory over. There is nothing that you cannot have victory over if you realize that the battle is not a flesh and blood battle, but it is a battle with the devil who is behind it. One day Jesus started talking about the cross. He talked about the necessity of him going to the cross. One of his disciples, Peter, rebuked Jesus. And the word there means to take by the shoulders and shake. Can you picture that this morning? Jesus is saying, you know, I need to go to the cross. He's expecting his followers, I think, to have some kind of sympathy with him and to support him in this. But Peter takes him by the shoulders and shakes him, and he said, no, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. Jesus had to offer a rebuke. But you know, Jesus didn't say, Peter, you don't know what you're talking about. No, Jesus looked at him and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. See, Jesus realized it wasn't Peter talking, it was Satan putting these thoughts into his mind. The real battle was not with the flesh and blood. The real battle was not with the flesh and blood. Peter, it was the devil who was behind the scenes. How can we overcome? How can we get victory over these forces of evil? Well, the first thing is we have to identify the enemy. The second thing we have to do is to identify the exaltation of Christ. Identifying with the exaltation of Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, would you please? We will start with verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 21 says that he put Jesus far above all principalities and powers. Here are the same principalities and powers that is talked about in chapter 6. When God raised Jesus from the dead, Paul said, he set him far above all principalities and powers and might and all those things listed there. He has put all things under his feet. Here's the truth this morning. We have an enemy, but he is defeated. The truth is this morning, you have an enemy. The devil is your enemy, but he is a defeated enemy. Christ has complete authority over Satan and all of his influences. Every time Jesus encountered a demon, that demon recognized the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus told the demon to get out of the man, guess what? He got out of the man. Even if there was a legion of demons there, if Jesus told them to leave, they had to leave. Why? Because they knew that Christ had authority over them. They knew and they believed in the deity of Christ, and they trembled, they shook for it. That's what James says. The devils believe and tremble. They know he is Lord. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, after Jesus had died on the cross. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers. Again, here's the same principalities and powers, same group in Ephesians 6, same group in Ephesians 1. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The word spoil there means to strip of effectiveness. Jesus stripped Satan and these demons of all of their effectiveness. He stripped them of his power. He stripped them of their authority. Now, John chapter 14 and verse 30 says, Jesus is speaking, saying, hereafter I will not talk much with you. Well, this is the part I want you to get. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. What is Jesus saying? Jesus saying, he has nothing against me. He has not ever once touched me. He tempted me. He attacked me. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, Satan never ever gained an advantage over me. And when Jesus died on the cross then, he was able to die there because he was perfect. He was sinless, never having given into a temptation in his life. But what he did was he took our sins upon him on the cross. And then he took those sins, and Satan had this legal document against us, listed with all of the accusations of our sins. Jesus took that, snatched it out of the devil's hand, and nailing it to the cross, and then blotted it out with his own blood. Satan has no accusation against you today whatsoever. He has no power against you. He has no authority over you. Jesus died on the cross, then they took his body and they put it in a tomb. You know the story. They rolled the biggest stone that they could find in front of that tomb, in front of that entrance. You know what I think? I think Satan himself and all the demons of hell were there pushing against that stone. But the Bible says that on the third day, Christ arose. There was not enough power in hell to keep him in that grave. Christ arose. And you know what? Someday, every knee that belongs to every person, every knee of Satan, every knee of his demonic host, every knee of things in heaven and in the earth and under the earth will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Where is Jesus? Jesus is sitting in heavenly places. He is seated today at the right hand of the Father with all power, with all authority. We sang about it, all majesty. That's where Jesus is. Third part of the message this morning, it's important for us to get, is identifying our exaltation with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know today that this is not future tense. He is not talking about going to heaven someday. When God saved you, he gave you spiritual life, but also spiritual exaltation. First of all, he quickened you. He made you alive. He gave you spiritual life. But then also, he exalted you spiritually. And today, spiritually, you sit with heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is that saying? It's saying that you share with Jesus in his exaltation and his dominion. You share with him his power and authority over all principalities and powers. What it's saying is Jesus has power over the devil. So do you. In Jesus Christ, you have victory, you have authority, you have power over the devil. And so when the devil comes to you, He's only bluffing. The problem is that many Christians fall for his bluff. And so Paul says, I want you to put on this armor. Put on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And what? Begin to march. Begin to go on the offensive and attack. No, he says, stand. Put on the whole armor of God and stand there. It's a military term. It means to hold your ground. What is the difference between marching, attacking, or standing there holding your ground? What's the difference? Well, when you are marching and attacking, you are going to get the victory. You haven't gotten the victory yet. The victory's out there. You have to go for it. You have to fight for it. But when you stand fast, when you hold your ground, you already have the victory. You have gained this much. And your job then is simply to maintain the ground that you have. Your job as the Christian is to maintain the victory that Jesus has already won. Your job as the Christian is to maintain the victory that Jesus has already got for you. God doesn't tell us to attack the devil. He tells us to stand. He tells us to resist. He tells us to stand firm in the faith. He tells us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith he has already made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So he tells us to stand, you hold your ground. What ground? The ground that Christ has already won by the death on the cross and by his resurrection and by his exaltation. When the roaring lion comes that Peter talks about, Peter doesn't tell you to run. He tells you to stand there. James doesn't tell us to run. He tells us to resist. It's the same Greek word that's used here. It means to hold your ground. See, the Christian does not go out to fight for victory. He fights from victory. This will mean all the difference in the world because every attack of the devil, if you think about it, every attack of the devil is really a counterattack. Brian and I were talking about that this morning. He is trying to take back something that you already have. You already have the victory. He comes, he tries to steal the victory from you. The devil is just trying to fight back and get what he's already lost. So how do we make this practical? I like to make things as practical as we can. Don't start the day out by saying, I'm going to get the victory today. I know I've got to meet that person today, that person that I've been struggling with. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to get victory over this. I'm going to get victory over them today. Or I have this temptation I know I'm going to face today. You know, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a difficult thing. But I'm going to get victory over that temptation. I just hope I can make it. You know, most people then get down on their knees and pray, asking God to give them something that they already have. They're asking God to give them something that God has already given them. We end up asking God for victory when he's already given us the victory. And Christ has already given us the victory when he died on the cross, when he was raised from the dead, and when he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. So instead, what you should do is you get on your knees in the morning and you say, Lord, I have the victory. Thank you for the victory that I have in yours today. I know that the devil will tempt me today, but I am starting this day from a place of victory, and I am sitting with you in heavenly places. And then realize that every temptation is an attempt from Satan to regain captured ground. And when the temptation comes, you recognize it. You identify the real enemy. And you say, Satan, I am victorious, and I rebuke you in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his word says that if I resist you, you must flee. You see the difference, the mindset? Not praying for victory, but working out from a place of victory. You start out each morning from the place of victory. And that temptation that is going to come to you at 8 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the evening, you already have victory over it. You know, if you get in the middle of the temptation and then you start praying for victory, it's usually too late. You realize ahead of time that you are victorious in the Lord. And then when the, the temptation comes, you recognize your enemy for who it really is. You maintain that victory through faith in Christ. You resist Satan in the name and through the authority of Christ by his shed blood. This is what Paul is saying. That is what James was saying. This is what Peter is saying. Resist, stand your ground, hold fast, stand firm. I love Romans 8:37. Nay, in some things we are more than conquerors. In all of these things, that's right, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors, super conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. The Bible, you know, the Bible never considers the defeated Christian life. That is not biblical Christianity. The unsaved man, he is under Satan's authority. Satan takes him captive at his will. They don't realize it, but they aren't living their own lives. That is one of the biggest lies Satan ever propagates. You can live your own life. You can do what you want to do. You don't have to be under anybody's authority. You're under Satan's authority. The only way to get out of that is to bow to a higher authority. Yeah. And if you have never trusted Jesus Christ and bowed down to him, asking him to be your Lord and Savior, I would invite you to do that this morning. If you want to be set free, I invite you to bow the knee to Christ and accept his lordship in his life, in your life. Remember James rushing? He's leaving the ship for the very last time. Leaning against the railing, all of his shipmates, watching him walk away. One of them speaks, says something that's going to give him a great deal of peace. They said, "We know we've given you a hard time rushing." And here's all the people looking on, all these sailors looking on. "I know we've given you a hard time rushing, but we want you to know before you leave that there is not a man on this ship who does not respect you." Rushing didn't know what to say. He simply nodded his thanks to them and began to walk away. While he was walking away, he had this thought: "Now I know what it feels like to win a war. Now I know what it feels like to win a war." Christian, do you know what it's like? Do you know what it feels like to win a war? Somebody came to me last night. They said, "Pastor," they were just so happy. "I asked God to help me quit smoking. He took even the craving and the desire away. I have no desire to smoke." There is a person who knows what it's like to win a war. Yes. If you've ever had an enemy and you were reconciled to that enemy, you get the feeling, "I know what it's like to win a war." If you've had a habit, a temptation that you have tried hard to break, one day Christ gave you the victory over that thing, and you're standing fast in the freedom and the liberty that Christ gave you, not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, you know what it feels like to win a war. How do you win this war? How do you win the wars? How do you win the battles that you're involved in? First of all, you have to know who your enemy is. Secondly, you have to identify with the exaltation of Christ, or you have to realize the exaltation of Christ. And the third thing is you identify with the exaltation of Christ. He is seated far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. And guess what? I can't explain it, but spiritually speaking, you are sitting there right next to him this morning. All things are at his feet, which means all things are at your feet. All things by him and through him are defeated, which means all things in your life by Christ and in Christ are defeated as well. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Is there anybody here? Say, Pastor, I need to make Jesus Savior and Lord of my life. I have not done that. But I realize that I need to do that this morning. I need to submit to a higher authority. I need to submit to Christ. My life is really not my own. I see that now. I thought I was living my life. The fact is I'm being taken captive by Satan at his will. Pastor, would you pray for me? Is there anybody here like that? Pastor, I want to receive Christ as my Savior this morning. Anyone? Anyone here at all? You don't have to raise your hands to this, but how many of you Christians have been praying for victory? Would you just turn that prayer around and say, thank you, Lord, for the victory? I'm going to operate now from a place of victory. And I believe that you're going to be able to say, now I know what it feels like to win a war. Father, I pray for those that are facing spiritual battles today. Lord, maybe they don't even realize it's a spiritual battle. Maybe they think it's a battle on the natural front. They might think it's a battle with flesh and blood. Lord, help them to see, to identify today the real enemy. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help them today to see you high and lifted up with your train filling the temple and with angels flying around your throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You would help them today see the principalities and the powers under your feet. And then, Lord, today, I pray that you would help them to see themselves sitting there with you in a place of authority with these principalities and powers, these same forces under their feet as well. Help us, Lord, today to have the faith to realize that we are operating already from a place of victory. I pray, Lord, that you would set people free today with these simple truths. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Worship team's coming back. Let's worship the Lord today. Let's worship him from a place of victory. And again, the altars are open if you would like to come. Instead of praying for victory, come and thank the Lord for victory. And to give you the faith to realize the victory is already won, is already yours.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Jesus, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. We love you, Jesus. We're clothed in rainbows of living colors, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yes, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are everything, and I will adore you. I'm filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery. What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely. So what can I say? And what could I do? Jesus, but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all.
I'll stand with soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours.
I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God, awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Thank you,
Jesus. Anyone with a testimony today? Anybody want to talk about what it's like to win a war?
I do.
What, we won a war? Share it, Dave.
A lot of you guys all know I smoked for many, many, many years. Today is exactly 1 year that God took it away. Exactly 1 year. And that's really cool. It is. I didn't do it. Only God can do that stuff. Only God can do that stuff. It wasn't by my power. It's his. He's so cool.
Anybody else? Just come to the mic if you'd like to share a war that you have won through God.
back from, thank you, from Canada. We stayed in Ladysmith with some friends, and there was a Bible study Wednesday and Thursday. And so I stayed over at night at a friend's house, the Baileys. Mr. Bailey, he has a ministry where he goes to the jail every Tuesday, and he ministers to the men there. And I don't know, quite maybe over a year ago, there was these two men that he ministered to. They are out of jail, and the one has been living with the Baileys for over 6 months, and he was saved, I don't know, about 4 months ago. He and this other man is so filled with the Holy Spirit that it has just been like a fever that has gone out to all of the youth in this church. And when I was over at their place on Wednesday night, we were playing Yahtzee, and it was about 10:30, and all of a sudden, we just started talking about the Lord, and this man, Rob, he just was just talking all testimonies and just praising the Lord, and we were all just gathered and just blessed so much. And we ended up putting Yahtzee away, didn't even finish the game. We talked until about 1:30 in the morning, all about the Lord. We were just so blessed. I could feel the Spirit. We got on our knees and prayed. We were just so anointed. And when we went to bed, us girls, we still read our Bibles. We looked up scriptures, and I just want to praise the Lord so, so much. He answered my prayer. I've been praying for this, and I know that the Spirit is there. I just wanted the manifestation of it. And so I just want to praise the Lord so much for answered prayer.
You're next, Gina.
I would just like to say that Pastor was talking about me in his sermon when he was talking about quitting smoking. I have tried for many years. I have smoked for 50 years. I finally turned it over to God. I quit 2 days ago. I have no desire to smoke. It's all gone. And I praise God for that.
Mine is, like Pastor, you were talking about, have you ever won a war? Well, I don't want to say I won it, but I know who was there who fought for me. And because when I look back and I was younger and I was in the world, it was things that I went after, people who I went after, who I thought had some prestige about them and material things. And my mom never gave up praying for me. And when I gave up on myself, she had never given up on me. And then I learned that God never gave up on me. And so now I never give up on my son or my grandson. And I have a grandson that'll be born in December. And so I'm already praying for that grandson. And it's just amazing because it's like what Sister Joan told me one day, and I think about it, and I share it at work. It was my filthiness that got me to the cross. And I tell people at work, it wasn't my ironed, pressed, you know, pleated skirt that got me there. It's how far down I went where I actually wanted to die. And I called out and asked God, let me die, and he had other plans for me. And I know those plans today, they're not all about me. It's what I can do for him.
This testimony is really hard for me to say, but God was there with us all the time. Last Sunday morning, early in the morning, God came to me in a dream. And he said that we should take out 2 weeks to pray and to really seek his face. And I got up and told my family, I guess not all of them, because they told me I hadn't told them all, but told my family, and we all agreed that it would happen in our family. And on Monday, we came against something that was very hard, but God had prepared our lives. And on Monday, there were some allegations about my husband and I on the internet that were not true. And God just brought our family together, and policemen talked to Abby, and then on Tuesday morning, Abby and I went to Eau Claire, and we were driving, gonna go through Boysville, and go to Menominee. And when we got right on 170 and turning on 79, the Spirit of the Lord came down in the car. And I didn't want to stop the car. I just wanted to keep on going and praising God. We got to Menominee, and I said, God, what am I supposed to do? Should I stop here? And he said, no, go on to Eau Claire. And we just were praising God, and Abby was in the car, and we were both praying in our heavenly language. And God led us to a church in Eau Claire, and the doors were open, and we went to the altar. And God really touched both Abby and my life. And then on Wednesday, because of the allegations on the internet, I had said something to Abby, you know, maybe something could happen to Seth. Seth could be removed from our home, even though he is 18. He's a vulnerable adult. And at 3:30, Seth comes home from school, and office. All of a sudden, I looked at the clock, and here it was 2:45, and I said, Don, where is Seth? And we both said, well, Seth, he must have went over to his friend's house. What's going on here? Not telling us. And we walked out the door, and social service was there. And county sheriff was there. And at first I thought Seth was in trouble, you know, at school or something. And but God was on the throne, and he gave us victory. And all the allegations are false that you have seen against Don and I. Social services asked us questions, and they left Seth in our home. So I praise God. God is still on the throne.
On a fall evening, it was the 6th of October, 45 years ago, I attended an AA meeting at the West Allis Clubhouse. It was Allis Chalmers opened their clubhouse for AA. That night, I walked into that building, and I admitted to God and myself that I had a problem. It was 1964, 45 years ago. And since then, I have not had a drop of alcohol. On the excuse me, on the program, they have what they call a higher power. Anybody can choose their higher power, a person, a thing, but I chose that night to accept my higher power as my Lord and Savior, and it's worked. Praise the Lord.
I just wanted to share with you a story of something that happened to me when I was just about my daily business around my house. All of a sudden, I was just taken someplace. I don't really know where I was, but there was this huge battle that was taking place, and there was a distinct line on this side of the line of this fierce battle that was going on, and at the front of the line was Satan, with all of his demons behind him, and the line was drawn. And on this side, there was the Lord in the front and all of his people on this side. And I was standing at the front of the line facing Satan with all of his demons that were hideous, horrible, and frightening. And I was standing at the front, and Jesus was standing by me with the saints of his people behind me. And Satan was looking at me with the most fierce eyes, and he was so grotesque and frightening. And he kept saying to me very threatening things, that he was going to kill me and these different things. And I remember just being so afraid because he was just so threatening to me. And I just was standing there looking at him as he was saying all these horrible things that he was going to do to me. And I looked at Jesus and I said, Lord, I love you and I will always love you. But I said, look at what he's saying to me. I said, I'm afraid. I said, please let me go back and hide behind some of these Christians that are back here so that I'm not on the front. And I said, and then maybe he won't see me. And the Lord just looked at me, and he wasn't rattled at all. He was just calm and all peace, and he said, don't be afraid. He can't do anything to hurt you. He said, just stand here and face him. He said, but don't turn and run.
Give up, it works.
Praise the Lord. Do you have another song? Nope. Or not? Any more testimonies? We must be done then. So praise the Lord. God bless you. Just miss. Seriously, think about Worldview Weekend. And if you don't have access to a computer but would like to go, probably see me today so we can get that taken care of. God bless you. You're dismissed.